Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Some of you old people like me will remember this, and some of you are too young, but I remember the day when I would be watching TV and all of a sudden you would hear this annoying noise, right? And then somebody from the news station would come across your TV, everything would be blacked out for that notice, right? And you would hear this voice, and half the time, no, not half the time, 99% of the time, it was just a test, right? Or once in a blue moon, there was an important announcement. It seemed to always happen at the worst possible time. Sporting events, right, you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, a minute left, and that thing would pop up, or during a television show, maybe you were just about to find out who shot JR, right? If you remember that. Of course, that was at a time when you couldn't rewind. You couldn't watch it back on demand. Those were the days, kids, where if you missed it, you missed it. You'd have to wait for rerun season. There was an actual time of the year, rerun season, where you hopefully then would catch what you missed, and if you didn't, you were out of luck, right? That's how important announcements used to come when I was growing up. Today's passage that we're about to read is one of those moments where God breaks in with his own announcement. The most important announcement mankind has ever received. While we know it's important today, we are so familiar with it, there's a danger that it can just become ordinary, right? Old news. We've heard it before. I've heard it so many times. I was thinking about people that fly on planes often. They get so used to it, right, that they can just go to sleep. In fact, I don't know if you've ever seen those passengers that fly all the time. They get in there, they're set, they know what they're doing, and even before takeoff occurs, they're out. They got their earbuds in, they got their things over their eyes, right, and they're just asleep. Doesn't matter that you're in this metal tube, 30,000 feet in the air, going 500 miles an hour, right? It's old news to them. It's just the ordinary to them. That incredible feeling of acceleration, that moment where you just leave the ground, right? You take off. That's exhilarating to me. That's something special to me, but for them, it's just something that's become ordinary. I pray that we don't lose our sense of wonder with this amazing news that we've been given. I pray it doesn't get like that. Think about what happens when you lose the wonder, right? We have the Word of God available to us. We should be in wonder of that. Do we realize how incredible it is? Do we realize that the majority of human history did not have the Word of God readily available to them? Yet we do, and we've lost our wonder with that. Right? When we lose our wonder, we start to wander. We're looking for that next thing to catch our attention. Right? Think about marriage. First, there's a lot of wonder, right? We can't wait to learn everything there is about that person. We spend all our time trying to do that, spending all of our time with them, right? And then after so many years in marriage, the wonder starts to fade. And if we're not careful, that's when we can start to wander, right? There's a danger. Wander or wonder, two words that sound very similar, almost spelled the same way, but have very different meanings, right? Wander, to walk away, to walk around in an aimless way, to move without purpose or direction, right? The word wonder means to marvel, to be amazed by something beautiful, something unexpected, something unfamiliar, right? The older we get, the less wonder there is in our lives. We become a little bit numb to wonder, maybe even a little bit cynical. My friends, we must fight against that. Because that leads to wander. And when we wander off mission. Whether that's in our marriage or whether that's in our lives, we get away from God's purpose for our lives. I hope today we discover rediscover the wonder of Christmas. I hope we return to a place of being amazed, so amazed that we want to share this amazing news with somebody that God puts in our path. Amen. Luke 2, in the opening verses, Mary gives birth to Jesus in a manger because why? Thank you, yeah. You know the old story. But do you realize that God has done the miracle of miracles? Is it hitting you? Right? A Savior has been born. It's happened in the most simplest, humble circumstances, in the quietest ways. Nearly nobody knows about it. Right? But the news is proclaimed. The silence is broken in a most amazing way. Luke 2, verse 8, would you stand in honor of God's word? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, would you soften our hearts? Would you open our eyes and our ears? Would you remove the distractions? Lord, would you help us to lay the distractions down, everything that we're worried about, everything that we're frustrated with, everything that's undone, everything that we just don't have a clue. Would you help us to give those things to you and trust your will? Help us to focus in on you. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. There is the announcement, right? It comes to a surprising group, shepherds. This is very important. The shepherds would have been the lowest class of people in this time period. They tended to the sheep, and oftentimes they were wandering around the plains, spending sometimes months outdoor with them. These shepherds were people that were either the youngest in the family that got the worst chore, or these were former criminals, former people that couldn't get any other job, so they were given this job, right? This uncleanliness, this months spent out with the sheep would have made them ceremonially unclean. That meant when they went to Jerusalem, they would not be welcome in the temple. They would not be welcome to worship because of all the yuck. Shepherds had a reputation for being dirty and smelly. And that's saying something back then, right? Get this too. These shepherds were raising the sheep that would actually be the sheep that was sacrificed in worship. But they themselves are not welcome in that. To me, that's incredible. Because when the announcement comes from God, where is it made? To the rich? To the well-off? To the top? To the religious elites? No, God chooses to make his announcement to those who would be considered the least, the lowest, right? To the ones who are rejected, to the ones who are not welcome. There are people thinking that God would never speak to them in our day and age. They think they're not even on his radar, but what they need to know is that the God of the universe not only sees them, right, but has a word for them, if they're available. You may feel like you're too far away, too far gone, too far down. Other people might see you being too dirty or have that label, right? Maybe you're believing that, but you need to understand that God is making a point right here. A point that to those who are not welcome in worship, right, he will bring an opportunity to worship to you. Right where you're at, in the dirt, in the grime, in the smell, right, he comes to us right there with an amazing message of hope. Hear that. Did you notice the awe and wonder in the announcement? Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. We read that, we know that, right? But can we think about what that actually looks like? The glory of God shining all around them, that's just not like Christmas lights. That's just not like Christmas music playing. No, this is a rural area. There is darkness, right? It's quiet. And then an angel appears. They appear with the glory of God shining all around them. And what's the response? Shepherds are terrified, right? There was definitely wonder. The angel has to say what all angels have to say. Hey, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That was the news to the shepherd. And here's the thing. I don't even think it was just news to the shepherd. I think it was news to the angels too. The angel, who was the messenger, he had the message, right? But I think the others are kind of hearing it maybe for the first time or first thought. And I believe it. That they begin to praise God for that. I think there's wonder with the angels too. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those in whom his favor rests. I don't know if the angels know or didn't know or any other the spiritual beings, right? But at one point, Jesus is in heaven. And the next point, he's not there. And maybe there's some rumors going around. Where is he, right? What's going on? Maybe somebody's saying, I've heard he's been born in the flesh. What? Yeah, he's down there. Why, right? Well, I heard the Father wants to bring the rebellious home. Why would he do that? Because he loves them. Or maybe some knew the plan. Right, but it was finally time to carry it out. I don't know. We just assumed that they all know, but I don't think they did. I think some of them were looking at this moment with a lot of wonder. What is going on? What is happening? Or is it finally time? Right? I think they were caught in that wonder. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:10, talking about salvation that was foretold by the prophets. He said this, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that had been now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. The prophets who were foretold, right, these things, didn't fully understand it, didn't fully understand what they were prophesying, and even the angels longed to look into these things. I just picture them seeing this and wondering what in the world is going on, right? But then they hear the announcement. And this is their response. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is the season, my friends. This is the time that we are reminded that God came to this earth, Emmanuel, that the begotten Son of God became flesh. today a baby has been born. Why is that important? I think sometimes we all wonder, where is God in my story? Right? I can't give you the answer to that. I can't explain everything that happens to you and why it does, but I can tell you that he is at work in us and all around us. We cling to verses like Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Right? We know those verses. At times it might appear that he's silent, though, or that he doesn't see you, but he's working things out for your good. At some point, there's going to be an announcement. At some point, you're going to see, oh, that's what he was doing. And I believe that we'll all praise him. The world didn't know. I don't think the angels fully know that a Savior would be born on that day, but the Father did. He told them about his plan hundreds of years before, right? And yeah, it was silent for a while, but he was at work. This announcement is the fulfillment of God's promise. All the work, here we go. It's all happening, right? God is making a way for those that are rebellious to come home, for all people. God is making a way for mankind's relationship with him to be restored. At one time, we walked in the garden, right, in paradise, face to face with God. But we chose to reject him. He knew it was going to happen, though. And he already had a plan in place to see that relationship restored, a plan to get us back. And here it is. Here it is, right? The fulfillment of that plan is happening. That's what we're celebrating in this season. God coming down to make a way for us to be restored. What could be more amazing than that? This is good news, isn't it? Good news for all people. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The good news comes to us all, but notice what the shepherds do with it. Verse 15, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hear about it and they have to go see it. The word see means to stare intensely and to examine. They need to go examine this thing that has happened closely. They must do it personally, right? They must experience this for themselves. They don't say, well, that's good news, great, right? And then just go back to their fire, go back to the sheep. No, they've got to go check it out for themselves. And friends, that's what each and every one of us need to do. We all must examine the good news for ourselves. Seek the Lord for ourselves. You can't have your parents' faith. You can't believe it just because I told you about it, right? You can't be born a Christian. You have to examine it. You have to see it for yourself. You have to see where it leads. You got to seek the Lord. And if you seek the Lord, you will find him, right? Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Are you seeking him? So many people wonder if God's real, if God's around, right? But the word of God tells us that if we seek him, we'll find him. 2 Chronicles 15:2, if you seek him, he will be found by you. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. James 4:8a, come near to God and he will come near to you. Acts 17:27, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us, right? Where is God? I can't see him. Seek him. Draw near to him in his word, right? You want to know if God is real? There it is. Seek him. Seek him with all your heart. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to give him 5 minutes, right? If you want to find him, you'll find him. If you don't, you won't. That's the plain truth for all of us, right? Do it, did you hear? While you can. That's scary. Where does it lead for them? Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Get this, they go from the lowest job, right? The lowest job there is, a pretty boring job with a lot of wandering around. In fact, I can't think of how hard that job would be, right? I've heard sheep are not the smartest. We've watched the videos, but oh, man, that's their job, right? All that changes, though, the moment they encounter Christ. In that moment, they go from wander to wonder to mission. Do you see the mission, right? They encounter Jesus, and they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. In other words, they shared their testimony. You have a testimony, don't you? They shared the good news about Jesus Christ. You know the good news about Jesus Christ. Notice it didn't change their occupation, their vocation. They're still shepherds, but it put a calling on their lives to share their testimony, to share the good news. Maybe today you're discouraged because of where you're at in life. Maybe you don't dare to let yourself think that God could use you and wherever you're at, or you don't have a purpose, but you have a testimony, right? You have a testimony of what God's done in your life. You have a calling to share. That is if you're available. That is if you'll follow his calling. If you do, he'll use you. He can give you the most amazing purpose in your life. Man, I say this often, but for some of us, for me, way too long, Christianity was boring. Maybe I was flying around too many times, right? That window seat on the airplane, no big deal. But what if you didn't focus on yourself in the flight? What if instead you looked for the person that had never flown before? What if you offered them that window seat? What if you told them what was going to happen? What if you told them what they should expect, right? What if you held their hand when they were scared? What if you could offer them some words of comfort? What would happen if you got to see how flying for the first time hit that other person, affected that other person, how that window seat hit them? Right? How excited they were. You'd be filled with wonder again, wouldn't you? No longer wandering, right? Would flying be boring then? No. Christianity is boring only when it's focused inward. Only when it's focused on us. If the flight is all about us, right? But when we realize there's other people in the plane that God has put around us, that we can share our experience, that we can share the good news with. When we start to do that, then it gets interesting. Then it gets exciting. Let me tell you something about the plane. It's broken. Do you realize that? The plane is broken. The plane's gonna crash. But you know where the parachutes are. Do you get that? The plane is going down. Everybody's going to die, right? Oh. But only those who don't get the parachute will have eternal death. Could you imagine sitting next to somebody in a plane and not offering them a chute? Could you imagine being so focused in on you that you don't have time or that you're too scared to offer somebody a chute? Could you imagine expecting the captain to make it to every seat, right, and give them that information? You've been assigned a section. You've been assigned a row. You've been assigned a workplace. You've been assigned a school. We have a mission. And if it's just about us, we won't care about passing out parachutes, telling people about parachutes. But it's not. If it is, it's going to be boring. The moment you realize that you have a job, a mission, then it gets exciting. I got to get to that row. I got to get to that person, right? And that person's going to say, somebody's going to say, I don't need a parachute, right? This plane is fine. No, it's broken. It's obvious this plane is broken, right? We live in a broken world. Some people won't listen to that. But what if one does? You think that plane ride would be boring? That's where we're at today, my friends. The plane is going down. But we have the parachutes. And we can offer them to people. Whether they take it or not, that's up to them, right? But we can testify to the difference having a parachute on gives us, right? I don't have to worry about this life because I know my salvation is in somebody else's hands. Take yourself out of the center of the story. And remember, it's all about him. Wonder what that means for you. Wonder, right? I think if you fly, man, you're going to focus on your family first. But then there comes a time to worry about other people. Wonder what that means for you. Wonder what God is doing. Right? What are you up to, Lord? Let that be your prayer every day. What are you doing at my workplace? Who are you speaking to, Lord? Would you just put them in my path? Would you help me to reach them? Would you help me to be bold? Right? It's all about him. Christmas should be all about him. Next week, we're gonna invite people, right, to put on a parachute. We're gonna offer that to them. Especially, we try to do that often. But who can you invite? Who needs to hear, right? You can invite a lot of people. I invite a lot of people. A lot of people say no. Well, once in a while, somebody comes, right? You don't have to wait till they come, though. You can tell them about that parachute right where you're at. There's a God who loves them. There's a God who came to this earth. There's a God who put on flesh so that he could die, so that his death could pay the price for our sin. Right? And if you believe that, if you trust that, if you believe he was raised from the dead, right, you can have eternal life. Your sins can be forgiven. You can be born again. You know that truth. It's not difficult. Share it with somebody, right? Hey, listen, I'm just worried about you because someday you're going to die. That's what you can tell to somebody. It's the truth. Someday, we're not guaranteed anything. I'm worried about the direction you're headed because it is away from Christ. And the Bible says, right, it's not about being a good person. It's about knowing him. Right, there were people who thought they were good. And Jesus told them, away from me, I don't know you. They were doing things in the church, right? I didn't know you. I'm worried about you because I don't think you know him. Would you like to, though? Can I introduce it to you? Can I invite you to church? Can I give you a Bible? Whatever it is, what is God up to? Search that. Wonder about that. And join him on mission. Amen? Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. My friends, this is a season. There is good news of great joy, right? A Savior has been born, and that news changes everything. Amen? Stand with me. My friends, I'm not in your row. I'm not at your workplace. I'm not at your school. You've been entrusted people. Entrusted people around you. Embrace rejection, right? Put it out there. If they reject it, no big deal. You told them. Could you imagine standing before the Creator and seeing those that you are sitting next to and you never told them? Could you imagine seeing them stand before the Lord and saying, I never knew you, depart from me? Could you imagine that? I don't want to face that. I don't want you to face that. I don't want you to depend on me, right? This is you. This is your calling. This is your mission. This is your row. This is your plane. This is your section. Share the good news with them, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in here today that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would realize there is a God who came down. There is a God with us. There's a God who died for us so that every vile, evil thing that we've ever done could be forgiven if we just trust in the atoning work that you did, that if we just trust in the work that was accomplished in the cross, Lord, that if we just trust that there is a God who raised from the dead, Lord, so that we could also rise. Father, I pray that they would put their faith and their trust and all their hope in you. Not in them, not in anything that they've done. Father, may it not rest on the good things and the bad things, but may it rest only on the work of the cross, only on the resurrection, Lord. Father, I pray that they would cry out to you and ask you to save them. And Father, I pray that they'd hear the call that says, follow me, and that they'd spend the rest of their life doing that. Father, would you help us to share the good news with those that are around us? Would you help us to look for those opportunities? Would you help us to hear them? Would you give us the boldness to do that, Lord? Father, we pray. We pray for this season. We pray for those opportunities, Lord. We love you and we give you all honor and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.